thanks to Round Head Studios.
Patty from Roundhead Studios, welcome.
Hey, is this thing live? Yeah.
Hello. What's going on?
What's going on
at the Roundhead?
Oh, well, I was just a bit sweaty from running down here. I thought it was going to take me about 2 minutes to get here, but
I was about to say, have you guys like adjusted the aircon for the new temperatures?
Yeah, actually at the moment, which is really cool, I didn't even mention to you guys, we're running the New Zealand Music Producers series at the moment. So this week and next week, free seminars at Roundhead Studios some of New Zealand's top producers. Today we had Josh Fountain.
Good old Josh from old Lesier.
Yeah, tomorrow we've got Bic Ranga, Thursday's Tom Healy, Friday's P Money. Next week there's a whole smattering of people.
RSVP? Do I need to...
I believe that it's RSVP'd, but I mean, if you really want to go and you really want to get in, I'm sure we can make space. Either dial up the studio or send us a little message on Facebook or something and we can organise it. It's a full day thing and... yeah, learn some cool stuff about what people do and how
most
it all
of these
works.
Producers like in the box.
Yeah, I mean, it's
Josh would be pretty laptopy.
Yeah, Josh is pretty laptopy, but like, I mean, we made
laptopy.
Yeah, we made bits of the record in the studio. We did the drums and the bass and things. Then you've got, but it's a good like diverse range. You know, we've got Healy, who Tom Healy, who works down at the lab, and you know, he's mainly kind of like a hybrid guy, so he'll do lots of band tracking as well as sort of mixing in the box and things. I mean, there's, I think there's a bit for everyone. There's good genres. We got, you know, P Money. There's Rory Noble. Those guys.
What does P Money do?
P Money's the dude. What does P Money do?
What does this Mr. P Money do?
Yeah, he'll teach you some tricks. I've learned some stuff off him. He's great. So that's this week and next week. I think the RSVPs have closed, but if you're really keen and you've somehow missed this on your calendar, send the studio a message or give us a call or something. I'm sure we can make it happen for you. It's a good time.
Can I get into Roundhead through Sharon Delia's?
No.
Okay, just check.
There's a big bolt there. There's a big bolted door. You get into Sharon DeLeers through my office.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I'm the gatekeeper.
Do you have a Sharon DeLeer in your office? Is there a Sharon DeLeer in every room?
Yeah, there's a Sharon DeLeer in every studio.
That's mean.
Yeah, it's mean. It's one of the perks of the job.
It's magical.
Yeah. I'll give you a personal tour. It's a great little shop.
But also, is Sharon DeLeer a listening room, or do you guys record anything in there?
We actually had Phaser Days was up in there. She wrote a bunch of her album. We set it up
as a little video, wouldn't it?
Yeah, set it up as a little writing room. Sometimes if we've got, you know, there's someone who's like, oh, I really need a writing space or something, we'll go and stick a couple of speakers in there.
John's like that.
Yeah, you can get in there.
I need a lot of chandeliers when I'm writing my songs.
I need an iceberg, an avocado, and a snorkel. Hurry up. That kind of thing.
Yeah, it's a vibey little space. It's really cool. I mean, there's a little bit of traffic noise. It's not so great if you're really trying to get your like folky acoustic singer songwriter stuff on, but you know,
drum and bass.
Auckland based sounder.
Yeah, exactly.
As well.
Yeah.
What is the Auckland sound? A little bit of motorway, some crane. Hey, speaking of sounds, you've recently acquired at Roundhead a massive sort of DSP digital plug-in.
Talk me through
catalog.
That's
is
like
it
such
software?
A great like
is
array of buzzwords.
Yeah. I was stalling.
DSP, UAD,
0010, 102, 102.
I have no idea what this is.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So basically we've got all the, you know, this outboard gear and, you know, preamps and EQs and compressors and the rack at Roundhead.
But you don't have all of it.
We don't have all of it, no.
That's where this comes
company,
in.
UAD, have, over the past few years, created sort of amazing faithful recreations via some crazy wizard technology. I don't know how they do it, but they kind of send voltages and signals through these hardwares and make a digital recreation of it. So you can basically have tape machines, compressors, even now it's like microphones that they've emulated in your computer, so you can kind of make those classic sounds and those classic bits of gear in your laptop thing without having like $20,000 for every piece of thing that you need.
Don't get excited, John. This isn't the moment where digital beats analog once and for all, but it's pretty close.
Yeah, it's pretty hot. And I mean, and we've talked ummed and ahed about it for a little while, and you know, it's like, why do we need, you know, the UAD version of a Fender Twin guitar amp if, you know, we've got a Fender Twin guitar amp?
Because you might not have a 55 Deluxe, you know what I'm saying?
But they're really, really incredibly made plugins, and not just sort of in sense that they're almost matched one-to-one with the hardware units, but also they expand on it and they add things or, you know, the thing with hardware is everything seems to be its original thing, but these things combine a whole bunch of them together and you get the kind of best of all of them, hopefully.
Say you've got a studio with limited hardware.
Mm.
Is working within the tools sometimes, you know, does that make great results when you've got an unlimited you know, array of digital options? Does that just kind of make things difficult to narrow down and make decisions?
Yeah, I think it still goes back to the knowing your tools, and it's like the if you know the tools really well, then you're going to know which one to reach for. It can be pretty. I mean, the first thing
we've
I did.
We've got so many options.
Yeah, when we got it, it's like it popped because we ended up just we couldn't really buy like one or two and just have it. I think you can get there's about 150 different plugins or something like that. And the first day, I just started pulling up ridiculous stuff and just it was things you'd never do, like put, I don't know, choruses on buddy drum kits and just insane stuff. And it's that thing where you're like, well, I've got everything in the world that I could ever need and I'm going to put everything on it at once, and it sounds awful.
Kind of impressively, they've obviously reached out to the original makers of these things, because a lot of them are like brand named as well. They're not coloured and look the same.
Yeah.
And,
you know. That's the kind of difference, I guess, is that they're doing so well that
they paid the big bucks.
Yeah, so they're doing it. And the brand itself, UAD, actually started from a guy called Bill Putnam in 1958, and he was the dude who invented the Pultec equalizer, which is a really classic tube equalizer with like kind of four big knobs on it. Kind of it's just like one knob's like turn this frequency up and the other one's turn this frequency down, and it's a really revered kind of piece of kit. And then this modern revitalization of the company was founded by his two sons, and so they sought to go, well, our dad was this really amazing analog creator of technology, and so they wanted to be the kind of this generation's digital version. And they still do make like analog hardware and things, so you can get preamps and things that you know actually have knobs and you can touch them, but their big thing is, you know, this digital stuff. And it makes it really amazing because now you can, you know, it's stepped into a market for kind of people who are not just pro audio guys but also, you know, just hobbyists who want to kind of bridge that gap and have a bit more of a step up in sound as well, so you're not kind of having to fork out, I don't know, $5,000 for a stereo compressor. Yeah.
Now you mentioned we were talking about a Fender Tweed before, and you said we were picking songs, and then I've just gone and grabbed my favorite Fender Tweed player. Jim Campolongo plays a Tweed, basically all the settings maxed, I think. That's the rumor.
Whoa.
Or just a Telecaster straight in.
That would be the brightest sounding guitar ever, would it not?
Everything though, the bass as well, the mids as well.
Okay,
everything.
So it's all that relative. So
everything's dimed, you got it.
Sick.
So basically just like ramming the preamp. So he doesn't play with any pedals. He's very much a volume guitarist.
Sick.
Give you a hoon, man. I'll give you a hoon. This is I'm Helen Keller and you're a waffle iron.
Sick. We'll be right back.
There's a massive jank at the end of this, but...
Oh, yeah, it's getting a bit stereo there. It's getting a bit trippy in the headphones.
It's Jim Campolongo.
Oh, yeah, there it is.
Yeah, playing a dime to Fender Tweed.
Yeah, that sounded like all knobs at 10 for sure.
Good luck getting that sound from the box, guys.
Well, we had a funny one today where it was like we were recording something. It was a Fender Tweed, I think, and it was a good take, and then there was just this like weird burst of static in the middle of the take or something. Oh, or right. Some crazy thing. And then chuck the UAD on and dial settings. It wasn't too bad.
But you take a DI track as well, no matter what.
Yeah. You always got to take a DI track with these bloody dodgy old vintage amps. You don't know what's going to happen in the middle of the song.
John, do you know what we're talking about?
Yes.
Before the guitar signal reaches the amp, to get a clean recording sound, you take a little, it's almost like a tee off. And so you make two guitar signals. One tee off goes clean into the computer, John. Yeah. And the other one goes into the amp.
That way,
you can go back and reamp everything with all your plugins that you've got in your UAD plugin set.
The magic of modern audio.
Now, does the UAD make you a better producer, Ben?
Yeah, it does. It does indeed. No, it doesn't. It doesn't. I still think you got to know your tools. I think it's really, you've got to be selective. You've got to be, you know, tasteful with what you're doing.
At some point, it will a little bit. But yeah, it's not going to get you far.
Where does the musician sit in this equation? You've got this tool.
I've got this tool.
What do they know about it? What good is it going to be to them?
I think that it's really suitable for musicians as well. I mean, beyond the fact that it brings a few extra tools to your fingertips. I mean, the great thing with it is that there's a lot of range of what you can have. So, I mean, you start by getting a bit of the hardware, which is a preamp, and you can plug your guitar into or whatever. And then from there, you can sort of work out what direction you want to go in. Do you want to go this like pro audio kind of mastering audio kind of stuff? Or you can get the musician-y kind of stuff where there's like amps and there's delays and modulation and that kind of stuff. So I think it's quite a range of things that are suited to a lot of different people. For us, we've got it all. Mm-hmm. And you get lost a little bit in it because you're like, cool.
If someone's booking studio time with you, do you go, hey, we've got this tool, here's a little heads up, maybe just have a browse of the internet, maybe you can have a play with it when you get here?
Yeah, and usually I have a little, like a spiel that I send to people if it's like they're kind of thinking about coming in. And part of that's got a gear list, and so this will be added to the gear list, and, we'll sit alongside it. We'll be like, yeah, we've got this stack of tape machines and preamps and things like that, but then it's also like where we've got the digital to match it. And I think it's always been, it's quite a topsy-turvy kind of thing because analog has been so big for so long, and now it feels like maybe in the past 5 years or so that digital's kind of stepped up, and it's like, okay, cool, it's like you can do some good stuff with it, and it doesn't feel kind of hokey. And
you can do crazy shit like you said as well, like the cool thing about it is you can have one Neve preamp on there, or you can have 10 if you just for the hell of it and see what happens.
And saying that, the weird thing is that it doesn't do, a lot of plugins you get do like a digital clipping, so if you're turning it up too much or something, you get this horrible digital clipping stuff. The way they've done this, it works with the hardware, it works like analog, and it doesn't digitally clip. You just get louder and louder but more saturated. So if you do have like 10 Neve preamps on there, it's never going to redline and destroy your audio. It just gets that fuzzy Neve sound, I guess.
Nice. So really the magic is in that the hardware box itself.
Yeah, and that's where you have to go. So you can't just get the plugins of these guys. You have to start with a hardware box. And they start at kind of like prosumer kind of range of kind of just north of, I think, about $600, and that's kind of their cheapest model. And it's and then the more you spend, I think you can go up to a couple of grand, you get more power in the box and more plugins and things as well.
More toys at Roundhead.
More toys.
For your disposal.
I feel like this is just bad for me. Every week I have to come down here being like, all right, now we've got this thing as well now.
It's like, you can always go back to the op shops and just, I got this.
I got this sick shirt.
What's the most expensive model thing on there?
There's like some crazy.
There are some really expensive compressors.
Yeah, there's like Fairchild's. Like I've looked at like
just like shit that the Beatles used, and it was a Soviet thing.
I'm not even
joking.
I went to Abbey Road, and it was amazing. It was like my childhood dream, and they took me to this room that was probably about twice the size of the studio, and it was just this. It was under the basement, and it was where they just put all the shit that went to die. And there was like 10 or 15 Fairchild compressors, which are these old 1950s compressors, and working condition, they're about $25,000. But there was about 20 just sitting on shelves, and they're going, oh yeah, there's no one can be bothered fixing them, kind of thing. And I was like, what?
But you can't have it also.
You can't have it. Yeah. So that's pretty sweet. I mean, the cool one, there's a reverb of Ocean Way Studios, which sounds amazing. I mean, that's pretty, you can't buy Ocean Way Studios. Which is pretty hot. And then, like, within that, you can move the microphones around and choose the different mic choices and things. I don't know how they do it. It's amazing, but yeah.
Mint. Oh, Paddy, thank you very much, mate. Should probably skedaddle and head into the news.
Yeah, you should.
Check out Roundhead if you want to track something in extremely high fidelity, ladies and gentlemen.
Tools of the Trade on 95 BFM, thanks to Roundhead Studios.